We're going to continue on the mini-series we started. Today will be part three of binding and loosing. The first scripture we will address will be in Luke. I'm sorry. It will not be in Luke. The first one you might want to turn to will be 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us through your word today. As it's sown in our hearts, may it grow and be fruitful, and may we become the people that you created us to be, as we are forever changing by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we left off on our second big idea in this series, which is you have more power than you will ever need. You guys, you all need to remember that. You've got more power than you will ever need. And then we started going down through the sub-points. I'll reiterate those down to where we're going to take off today. Our first one was Jesus gave the believer absolute power over Satan. Satan does not have power over us beyond what we allow him to have. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And then the next one is doing battle in the unseen realm. We talked about the arid places. Remember? And how I personally believe that heaven is another dimension rather than a place far, far away. But we're translated to another dimension. And I explained to you last week why I believe that. So we talked about that. Then we talked about the fact that we are to loose the minds that are blind. We're supposed to speak the truth and by that and through prayer loose the minds that are bound. Okay? Then we talked about our ministry involves looking into the unseen world, okay, through the power of the Spirit, which now brings us, I know that's a really fast recap, but I didn't want to re-preach that whole message. Our next sub-point is we are triumphant in Christ. Not maybe. We are triumphant in Christ. When we realize our authority in what Jesus has already done for us, we become a true threat to Satan. People can sense the presence of Christ as we take our authority in Him and begin to minister life-giving words that set people free. The truth sets us free. Amen? So when we speak those words of truth, when we speak scripture that cuts right to the chase in any given situation, did you know that the answer to every problem and everything that will ever come against us in life is right here in God's Word? Every single answer. We're blessed. God gave us His Word, and we are blessed by it. It's our responsibility to hide the Word in our hearts so that when the time comes and we're required to have an answer for something, that we have that answer. Not in our own words, but God's words. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Powerful. Could have made a whole sermon out of those verses. I mean, it'll preach. That stuff will preach. So, God always leads us in triumphal procession. That's what I want to bring out of this right now. It doesn't say sometimes. This is God's word. This isn't, thus says Pastor Wayne. This is God's word. And it says, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. If we are truly in Christ, we have absolutely nothing to fear but fear itself. Because we are going to be triumphant. I don't care what it looks like right now. You know, ever since October of last year, I personally have been going through some physical trials. There have been an astronomical amount of people in this church with other things that have been going through trials as well. There's a lot of us been going through a lot of stuff. But you know what? In Christ, no matter what, we have the hope that we are going to manifest victory in it and through it all. We already have the victory because Jesus paid the price for it. All we need to do is receive it. Yes, tough times come. Yes, I've had times where I've said to my wife, how long am I going to deal with this? Okay? I have those moments where I ask questions. I have those moments where I get down, which is weird for me because I've not been a person that has gotten real low very often in my life. But going through this whole thing with all these meds and blood pressure and the whole thing, it's gotten me down a few times, okay? Down in here, down. But you know what? All it takes is to get some praise on my lips, get a song in my heart, get the word, and I'm up out of there.
Yeah.
I'm on top again. And you can do the same exact thing no matter what you are going through. We have a victory. We are triumphant in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Isn't it something that it talks so much about the fragrance of the knowledge of Him? We take on the fragrance of God, apparently, when we are in Him. And I want to take a moment and explain something about the fragrance of God. I've talked about this rarely, and I've seen it happen only a handful of times in my Christian life. But there have been times where we've been in meetings or a church service or whatever. I've had it happen with me and five other guys years ago that were meeting for worship and prayer and Bible study. And we were in a sanctuary, worshiping, and all of a sudden, a fog came into the sanctuary. Now, you need to understand, I'll tell you which church it was. We were up at Bethel, in the sanctuary at Bethel. And we were just seeking and hungering after God, and the presence of God came in suddenly. We didn't expect it. Suddenly, here comes the presence of God. And it looked like, if you could see over the lights, it was like a fog that came in. And then we all started noticing there was a fragrance that was with it. The aroma of God. Now, there's only been a handful of times since that. That was the first time I had ever experienced that. And there's only been a handful of times in the last 40 years that I've experienced that. But every time, it's the same aroma. And I call it the aroma of God when he manifests in that way. And I believe, by the way, that fog that came in was what is spoken of in the Word of God as the Shekinah glory. That's what I believe we experienced, was the Shekinah glory that came in. And by the way, when we experienced that night, there were five other guys and me. The five other guys ended up slain in the spirit. They were down under the power of God. One by one, they just dropped out. They fell out. And they were down under the power of God. And I was, because it happened so suddenly, I was like, it's not like I'd never seen people slain in the spirit before, but this came in so suddenly, it kind of took my breath away. And I'm kind of looking, and the Lord spoke to me so clearly. We were in the back of the sanctuary, and he said, you don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. You go up to the altar and you worship me. So everybody else in the place was slain in the spirit. I was the only one still standing. And then I went up and got on my knees and worshiped God. We ended up there that night basking in the glory of God until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I had to go open my business at 6:30 in the morning. I had quite a day that day too. That anointing carried through that day. But I don't have time to tell you all that. But the aroma of God is real. I can stand here today and tell you it's real. And when we get full of the Holy Ghost, I believe we are the aroma of God to people who come in contact with us. Okay, next sub-point. The gates of hell will not prevail over us. Never forget that. The gates of hell will not prevail. When we receive the revelation of who Jesus is in us, we become a powerful threat to Satan's ability to keep people bound. When we get full of the Holy Ghost of God and walking with Him, then we become a lean, mean, devil-wrecking machine. Believe it. Believe it. We have that authority. Okay? Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. And read it, verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it." The gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome the church. And speaking of the true church, all right? You guys realize that the true church is a lot smaller than what we call the church in this nation. There are a lot of pastors, a lot of churches. It's country club. God is not on his throne in those places. So we're talking about the true church here. Alright? And I would like to think that we are part of the true church. We're still standing on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. Third major point in this series. Loosing people from evil. Guys, a big, big part of Jesus' ministry, those 3.5 years when he ministered here, was healing and deliverance. He did a lot of it. Why would we think today, then, that that wouldn't be needed anymore, especially the deliverance? People might might get enough of God to say, okay, I can believe for healing, but I've run into so many people that don't believe that the devil manifests in that way anymore. And they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. And there is absolutely just as much need for deliverance today as there one was when Jesus was here. Maybe more. So, first principle we want to look at under loosing people from evil is the principle of agreement. Agreement. Yeah. Agreement is needed between the one ministering and the one being ministered to. Some people may be bound by the enemy because of the lack of knowledge of what Christ has done for them. If they choose to accept what Jesus promises, the power of God is released and they are loosed. Let's understand something together. Jesus, in some different given situations, went into a situation, was about to do a miracle, but before he did that, he told the people who didn't believe to get out. Doesn't that seem strange? In our minds, we would think, well, it would have been good if those people, maybe they'd come to believe if they were left to be in there to witness, or you know how we think. But Jesus, because he's God, has all the wisdom and understanding, and he knew that he needed an atmosphere of faith to do that miracle. He needed the power of agreement to do that miracle. Okay? If you have an atmosphere of unbelief, it's a slim chance there's a miracle going to take place. Okay? I have an example of that. In the past, John Murphy has come up here and shared this, but when Mary Murphy, a few years ago, had a major stroke and was in Iowa City, I went out there to pray with her and believed for a miracle, and I'm telling you, she had every hose and every tube and I think they had every piece of emergency equipment on her that you could put on a person. I mean, I was shocked when I went in there. And I went in there and the Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Get these people out of here, because the room was full of people and it was a bunch of unbelievers. And I walked in there. I can't believe I did this, but yeah, there was a nurse there. I walked in there and I said, all right, if you're in here and you have no relationship with Jesus Christ and no faith in him, get out. I did that. After it came out of my mouth, I was like, I can't believe I did that. Let's face it, that's pretty bold. Yeah. So, but I did, and they got out. I've talked to you before about God-given authority. It must have been God-given because they didn't try to fight with me. They just got out. And I anointed Mary Jo and prayed the prayer of faith with her. And the next day, she called John on the phone. Everything turned around. What if I had disobeyed God when he spoke to me and had gone in there and pulled out my anointing oil and anointed her and prayed the prayer of faith? I had faith, but it was an atmosphere of unbelief. What would have happened? I would say probably she wouldn't have got healed. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but judging by what we see in Scripture and past experience. So, the principle of agreement, guys. We need an atmosphere of faith. for miracles to take place. Secondly, the believer is stronger than the devil. When we finally realize that being in Christ allows us to operate with the same authority and power which Jesus operated, things begin to happen. The strong man, the devil, has met a stronger man, us. We are the someone stronger. Invoking the shed blood of Christ against the strongest demonic power will always cast the devil in the name of Jesus. Apply the blood of Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you, I've had times over the years when I was praying for deliverance over people that they manifest, and almost always it's been when I speak the blood of Jesus over them. I've had people, when I've spread the blood of Jesus over them, say, a young girl, for example, a man's voice came out of her, and she said, "You get that blood off of me!" Just like that. And I'm standing there going, wow. You like that?
You scared the bits out of us.
That's kind of what I wanted. I wanted you to understand how freaky it was when it happened. But not to give the devil any credit. God is greater. Always need to remember, God's greater. Satan tries to fool us into believing that he has the authority and that he has all the power, but he don't. He absolutely don't. So exercise your authority while standing with the full armor of God. Listen, guys, we need to remember to put on the armor of God every day, especially before we get into a situation where we're praying for somebody for deliverance or praying for somebody for healing. We need to make sure we've got the armor of God on. Why is that? When we pray for people, there is a transfer of spirit. You with me? There is a transfer of spirit that takes place. It's how the manifestation of God moves in that way. Okay? It works both ways. If you're not in, you've got unconfessed sin, you're not in a right relationship with the Lord, but you're out there trying to make a name for yourself, praying over people, want to be recognized. You know what? Somebody know what I'm talking about? Most of us have seen them, people that do that. Okay? Just wanting to make a name for themselves. But when we are not in that right relationship with God, clothed with the armor of God, we are at risk of spirits attaching to us coming into our life because we put hands on people that are demonized. Yeah. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I've been involved in these kinds of things for 40 years. So I'm not standing here telling you something I read in a book. I've got experience in this, and I've seen people get demonized that were not. I saw a young girl one time that was demon-possessed, and some guys got in there involved in that were just out making names for themselves and praying over this girl, and they didn't know what they were doing. And the girl ended up in a psych ward, and then an asylum, and as far as I know, to this day, still resides there. Because people stirred up demonic when they did not know what they were doing. They had not been trained, they had not been taught, they were not led by the Spirit, and they stirred up the demonic forces, and that's the way it ended up. So, It's no joke. And we never want to get on power trip. Like I said last week, when the devil rears his ugly head, we cut it off. Don't mess around. Don't argue. Never, ever argue with the devil. Never argue with him. There is nothing to be gained and everything to be lost in arguing with the devil. And when he manifests in that way, because he will, he tries to scare you and speak through people, you never argue with him. Never. Always speak the word of God, plead the blood of Jesus, cast him out. So you exercise your authority while standing with the full armor of God. So we can't talk about that without reading Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, which is the account. Of the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Before we delve into that, I just had a thought I think I should address. Before I ever begin to minister deliverance to a person that I recognize is demon-possessed, I take them through an interview process. And here is why and how. The first thing I ask them is, why do you want to be free from this? Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I've had people tell me, no, I just want relief. I don't need Jesus. I just want relief. I just want this torment to stop. I've sent people away. One of them was drove down here for deliverance, right here in this building, in my office, a pastor from Chicago. Actually in Yorkville. Hauled a guy all the way down here to get deliverance. I sent him home without praying for him. Why? He didn't want Jesus. He was involved in the occult. Didn't want to give that up either. If I had prayed and cast those demons out, because of the authority I have in Christ, they would have had to go. But according to the word of God, they'd come back seven times stronger. Because that void then would not have been filled with Christ. Are you guys listening to what I'm telling you?
Yes.
This is important, important stuff. If we're going to operate in the fullness of Christ. And the closer we get to the end times, the more people that are demon-possessed we're going to run into. Because the devil has pulled out the stops, all right? So we need to know these things. All right, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Every piece of the armor in this account, if you track it down in Scripture, it's a reference to Jesus. Covering ourselves with the armor of God is literally covering ourselves with Christ. You do a study. Do your own study. You track down every piece of this armor. I did it. Years ago, I did it. And sure enough, what it is clothing ourselves with Christ. It don't get any better than that. So let's look at an example of ministering in this way. Begin like this in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that I am in Christ with all the authority and power needed to deal with this situation. I pray the protection of the blood of Jesus over myself as I minister to this child of yours, Lord. So that's our starting point. As I said, make sure you have your sins confessed and that you pray a prayer. It doesn't have to be word for word, but pray a prayer of submission, affirming that Jesus is our only hope of salvation. And then begin by asking the person, do you repent of the part you played in causing this bondage? Remember, I told you I interview people. I'm giving you the whole process here. All right? Repent. Have you repented? And then I ask, do you want to repent? It surprises me how tormented I have seen some people. One guy could not sit still and he kept scratching himself. Now, I also know there could have been drugs involved in that. I'm not stupid about that either, but I'm telling you, this dude was a mess. But he didn't want Jesus. Now, I don't need Jesus. I just want to be free from this. Can't have it both ways. Can't have it. Do you totally forgive the others involved? Whatever opened the door to that bondage, if there were other people involved, it involves forgiving them. Listen, before I got saved, I unfortunately led some young men down the wrong path. I had a lot to repent for that. That's one of the things that bothered me a lot after I got saved and I began to understand the truth. Spent a lot of time repenting for leading some young men down the wrong path. I hope they are able to forgive me as I had to forgive the people that led me down that path. You hear what I'm saying? Do you totally forgive the others involved? Do you want to be completely free from this bondage? And as I said before, why? Do you want Jesus to be the center of your life? Do you want Him to be your Lord and Savior? Are you ready to accept Him and let Him take over your life? Lordship. Well, if they have answered correctly, and hopefully they're ready to receive Jesus, then you put your hands on the person and pray something like this. I loose you into forgiveness. Spirits that have this child of God bound, be gone. We bind you and cast you out in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. I loose you into the abundant life of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, be free. For those of you who are baptized into the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit and have the gift of tongues, I'm telling you right now, the demonic goes nuts when you start praying in the Spirit. I believe partly because they don't know what you're saying. And when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, your spirit is communing directly with God. You're operating in the perfect will of God. When we are speaking with our, as Paul called it, with his mind, rather than the spirit, we're praying with the mind, our mind can get in the way. We got the thought process that gets in the way. When we're praying in tongues, it bypasses the mind, and we pray with our spirit, and we are communing with God directly. And I'm telling you, the demons that are in people go nuts when you start praying in the Spirit. So when I feel the unction, I just start praying in the Spirit when I got my hands on the people. Whoo! Things start to happen. Okay? You know, I've been taking my time going through this because I know that it's a big percentage of people that have never been trained in this stuff. So I'm intentionally taking my time going through this because it's powerful. I'm going to quit there today because it's a good place to quit. And my purpose is to finish with part four next week. All right? I think I've given you enough today that you got enough to chew on all week, right? Let's all stand together, if you would. I could not be happier to be back in the pulpit ministering again. I'm excited. Father, I just thank you for your mighty works. I thank you for what you're doing in each one of us. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done in each one of us. Lord, as we leave here today, we've heard many things, and some of these things may be new to us. Lord, I pray that you seal these truths in our hearts. And throughout this week, remind us. And Lord, make it part of us as believers that, Lord, we begin to step out in faith when you call us and operate in these gifts to set people free, to loose them in the mighty name of Jesus, and to see people's lives changed. Lord, may we never forget what the sign above our entry door says, that when we leave this place, we're entering the mission field. Lord, take us, shape us, mold us, prepare us, and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.